Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7-steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518. At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, a special thanks to Mitch Bean with The Bottom Line and Joe Evadili, a very interesting attorney who gave his, committed opinion on various things. And now we have the Green Roundtable in-house, Eric Koss. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? We are back.
You are back. And Frank Lemeny, nice
I'm
seeing
back.
You. You're back, too. And, Eric, it's nice to see you back from a nice trip you had to Europe.
Yeah, I had a little holiday in Germany, so that was a nice deal. We actually left the day Oktoberfest started.
Oh, did you really? Oh, bummer, right?
I know, that's what everybody says, but it's kind of the way my wife wanted it. She's like, I don't know if I really want to be here for Oktoberfest. So we got to sort of experience everything leading up to it.
Well, that's not too bad, then.
No, so it was pretty good. I did find an interesting fact, though. At the main Oktoberfest in Munich, it's like the Super Bowl. You have to buy your ticket a year in advance, and people pay thousands of dollars to sit at the best beer-drinking tables.
What?
It's a pretty crazy
You're
event.
Kidding me.
Nope.
And what do you get by sitting by the best beer-drinking table?
Well, you have – there's all these different – like every major German beer company has a beer tent there.
Oh.
So you have to pay just to get into the tent. You know, an exorbitant amount of money. Not really an exorbitant, but, a good ticket fee. And then once you're in, it's just like going to the Super Bowl. You know, if you want front row seats, you're going to pay a premium because it happens once a year, and it's one of the biggest festivals in the world. So,
and front row seats, what do you see? Would they have, like, events?
I have no idea. I didn't, like I said, I didn't make it in.
That is so interesting.
You'll have to watch it on the internet.
There you go. There probably is a Hofbräuhaus cam or something somewhere.
Wow. So, Eric, welcome back, of course, from Europe, and you have a special guest calling
in. I do. Hopefully on the line we have James Frady. He is from Elmwood Reclaimed Timber Incorporated. They are out of Missouri. Hey, James, are you there?
How you doing today?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I can't complain. You know, it's I think about 75 degrees outside, not a cloud in the sky, and yeah.
All right, let's see.
To a good week and enjoying the fall weather.
I don't know. It's my. I'm from Chicago originally, and that's my favorite time of the year. It's what I miss most out here in Phoenix is that beautiful fall weather in the Midwest.
We had a nice dust storm today.
Yeah, we still are, I think.
for contrast, right?
Yeah, it was excellent. You can't see more than 5 feet.
Yeah, we have. It's 95 and a dust storm brewing right now, James, so that's what we're going through.
Well, you know, the ice, the cold, the rain, and the snow is right around the corner.
Yeah, well, you know, so enjoy it while you can.
We'll be envious of you guys here in, you know, 6-8 weeks, probably.
Yeah, that's when we soak it up. So anyways, tell us a little bit about Elwood Reclaimed Lumber. You know, what is it that you guys do?
Well, you know, essentially we're a sawmill, a manufacturer of wood products. We offer a kind of an extensive line of reclaimed wood products from everywhere from wide plank flooring to wood slab countertops to, old reclaimed hand-hewn and rust-on beams. We also offer some fireplace mantles, you know, old barn beams that we essentially sell as mantles. And then, of course, barnwood siding products, whether it be exterior siding or, you know, this day and age, a lot of folks are using barn siding inside of the house. So I'm selling a lot of that as well. Go ahead.
Well, one thing I've always been curious about when I see these reclaimed wood companies is how do you find this stuff?
Well, believe it or not, Eric, we kind of have a
spy network.
We really have a pretty full pipeline of wood always coming into our facility. We have a little campaign on our website that it's kind of like the Got Milk campaign, except it says Got Wood. And so if you're an individual that has some wood, of course, you can fill out our form online, and if our purchasers or our sourcing department is interested in your material, we've got all these folks and sometimes vendors who have X amount of material that are looking to sell it. But, personally, our company, we have about, I would say, 6 different vendors / subcontractors that go out and disassemble barns, mostly here in the Kansas City, kind of northwestern Missouri, southwestern Missouri region. And then we also have some sources, in the upper Midwest states, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, that primarily disassemble barns, and they've established relationships with us. And, you know, of course, these guys kind of get on track once they go from one barn, you know, then the neighbor down the street, so to say, may have an old barn that's fallen down and crippled and in need of, extraction. And at that point, you know, they'll just kind of get on a run and, before you know, they're taking down barns throughout that geographical location.
James, this is Frank speaking. Do you pay for that, or the people give it to you? And what criteria do you use to select it?
We certainly pay for the wood that comes in from our vendors. Our company, ourselves, you know, we're a medium-sized company, so. We really don't allocate our own labor or our own resources to disassembling buildings. Mm-hmm. We leave that up to the guys who are professionals at it. We used to do that about 10 years ago, but we've kind of grown, beyond being able to allocate our labor to disassembling buildings.
All over the place, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we certainly do pay for our wood. And basically, you know, what we're purchasing is really what we sell the most of. Which is primarily a lot of reclaimed oak, reclaimed heart pine, and then, you know, the various, there's certainly some specialty items that are kind of hot sellers for us, whether it be antique elm or antique hickory, mm-hmm. and some various other products. But, you know, most of the stuff that we're getting, that we're selling a lot of course, is more indigenous to our location. Geographically, which is Kansas City.
Have you ever seen the show American Pickers?
I don't believe so.
Oh, that's kind of what I was hoping you guys were like. It's these two guys that get in a van and they just drive around the country. They see an old barn and they go in and they start picking the stuff they want. And that's what I was imagining life as a reclaimed lumber associate was like. You just drived around carefree, no roots, and found wood. But
yeah,
hey.
I mean, you know, I think 10 years ago, that's probably along the lines of how this company started, to be totally honest with you. We're a pretty young group of individuals here, and there was definitely a lot of driving around and scouting and harvesting of timbers and getting into some of course, oddball things that you wouldn't have expected would have sold, and now, you know, they're selling items such as that all over, restoration hardware and, you know, some of these other kind of larger antique dealers, I guess you can call them.
James, what is the strangest, weirdest, most unbelievable project you've worked on with wood?
Oh, wow. As far as the project where our product has gone into?
Yes.
You know, we've worked with some very high-profile clients from very famous actors. I don't know if I could say the names or not, but... we've definitely worked on some high profile.
Go ahead. They're probably not listening.
About 3 years ago, I did a really large project for Tom Cruise's house. Uh-huh. We've done some professional athlete homes, such as like Shane Battier. But as far as like strange and weird things, you know, you're really only allowed to produce what the wood will allow you to produce.
Okay.
You know? So
right.
we get strange requests all the time,
uh-huh.
You know. But as far as actually being able to produce them is a different story.
Well, what is the strangest request you've ever had?
Oh, wow.
Now we're talking about reclaimed lumber.
Right.
We'll focus it under that umbrella.
The wood business.
Right.
Yes, the wood business. Without the worms.
Yeah, you know, man, I've had people who, to be totally honest, I think the strangest request I've ever had is this gentleman, I guess you call him a gentleman. He was into medieval reenactments, right? And so he wanted to craft a bunch of medieval tools for his reenactments out of our wood. But as you can imagine, to him, this was a very, very big project. Although the amount of wood he was searching for was pretty small, but
yeah.
I wouldn't say it was the strangest request per se, but the interactions that I ended up having with this gentleman was certainly different, I would say.
That's one for your journal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. You never think you could have like a 25 email string with someone who's, you know,
buying two pieces
small
of wood.
Medieval trinkets. But
what about, you know, I've talked to some other you know, people dealing with reclaimed wood and lumber. And I've always heard that even today, that Louisiana, because of Katrina and all the things that happened down there, is still actually a pretty good source for reclaimed lumber. They're still pulling it out of there. Do you guys deal with Louisiana as a source at all?
Eric, you know, the thing, the issue down there is we don't get involved in a lot of residential reclamation. You know, a lot of the lumber that we're extracting and that we're purchasing is coming from mostly barns and or larger commercial buildings, whether they're warehouses or factories or something like that. But the residential reclamation, you know, you get a lot of wood that hasn't been exposed to the elements, so to speak. You know, a lot of structural lumber, whether it be 2x4s, 2x6s, you know, a lot of stuff that hasn't seen weathering, which... it's part of the reason that our clients and people who are looking for reclaimed wood, part of the reason that reclaimed wood has such an appeal to them is because it's patinaed, it's vintage, you know, it has...
Yes.
It looks different than new wood, where, you know, a lot of the stuff down in New Orleans, especially with the flood, I'm actually a native New Orleanian, born and raised.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of hits home to me, but nonetheless, especially with the flood, you know... a lot of molds and funguses, just a lot of things that you have to be careful of. Now I have heard on the, as far as the brick market, you know, reclaimed bricks, I, you know, there's a lot of material, lot of old bricks coming either coming out of New Orleans and or a lot of them going back into New Orleans, you know. But we haven't done a lot of stuff down there.
James, I'm sure you're acquainted with the prefabricated housing industry.
Correct.
Have you ever gotten involved in supplying this material to people who manufacture modular or prefabricated homes?
We actually did, I think it was two prefabs last year with an architect, Marmol Radsner, I believe.
Oh, Radsner?
Yep, yeah, Marmol Radsner prefab. So we did a couple of houses where it featured, you know, and these are probably more on the high end of the modular side.
Yes.
But very, very cool stuff. But it featured some of our Barnwood siding products on the interior of the home, actually, and some ceilings, some tongue and groove ceiling planking. But it's becoming a more popular market, especially because of, well, I'm not sure of all the reasons, but I know there's some bureaucratic and kind of, you know, with the prefab houses, I think there's ways that you can avoid getting taxed on them in some situations. But, you know, I had a guy in Northern California who was building one of those and looking at some of our materials.
So you see this as a possible future market?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what about for boats?
What's that?
For boats. Use the wood for boats, interiors for boats.
Yeah. I mean, I've sold some little tables and stuff for boats and little countertop setups.
Uh-huh. For walls in the boats, your interior finishes or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I've had guys looking for, you know, of course, guys that are building boats, which they're out there. I mean, they've called
Yeah, they
them,
are.
You know, but they're usually looking for a little more, you know, they're wanting all clear vertical grain material, defect-free, which is tough to pull out of some of the timbers that we get.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of the calling of your wood. Why people get your wood is for those defects.
Right. And, you know, one of the other major reasons is it's first cut old growth material, you know. If you get a beam, a hand-hewn beam that was carved with an axe out of a tree that's, you know, been in a barn for 90 years, you have to figure at the time that was cut to raise this barn, you know, that timber may have been 175 years old.
Yeah, the tree itself, you mean.
The tree itself.
Yeah.
So then it's had all this time to kind of twist and turn and, you know, check out. And so from a stability standpoint, you know, that's a big seller of reclaimed wood is, a very stable product, you know. That's why we can offer planks that are up to 10, 11 inches wide, you know, where new cut flooring just doesn't have that stability.
What do you say to people when they're kind of on the fence and they're thinking, okay, you know, maybe we can go to our local supplier and we can buy some, you know, brand new product, or we can go and, you know, use reclaimed products? What are your big arguments for really trying to go for reclaimed? Why is it more of a green or a sustainable material?
Well, personally, what I say to people, I'm not a high-pressure salesman, and I don't think any of the guys in our office here are. But with regards to sustainability, you're really getting a better product. You know, these barns, instead of getting bulldozed into a giant hole in the ground or getting, you know, people will set a barn on fire if they want it off their property, you know. That's what's going to happen to this wood, generally speaking.
So you're saving it.
You're saving it. It's better lumber. It has a better look, you know. I don't know, better look. That's up to interpretation. I feel that it has a better look. And you're getting a product that is handcrafted in the U.S., you know. Sourced within the U.S., no trees are cut down. It's, you know, all of our guys work on site here. You know, we employ about 25 guys in the sawmill and in our custom fabrication shop. And, you know, not only that, but, like, if you guys were to call me up and order a floor or order a countertop, I'd be able to tell you geographically where that material came from, what type of structure it was, when the structure was approximately erected, you know?
Right, so some history there.
It's also kind of a story, too. So you know.
Yeah, there's a story to it, and it has a quality of antique.
Yeah, you know, when you're sitting down and you're, you know, maybe having a little happy hour with your friends, and you're, yeah, I got this laminate at Lowe's for $2.50 a square foot, or, hey, you know, I got this really nice reclaimed wood oak here for $4.50 that square, you know, a square foot. I worked with this guy, James. He was really cool to deal with. Material came out of Kansas City, you know. So it's a process. And we custom create all of our, you know, we custom manufacture all of our orders to order. We really don't have anything sitting on the shelves. We've probably got 150,000 board feet of raw lumber on our yard. But, you know, if you call me and order up a floor, it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks for me to get you that material.
Boo.
And I think there's a little, you know, I think more and more people would rather wait and get something that's created for them, you know.
Yes.
I mean, of course, there's always a situation where someone wants to, on a Saturday morning, go grab something off the shelf and get going.
Yeah.
But, you know, anymore, I mean, we've talked, you know, when I was first buzzed in, I was listening to you guys. I think, Eric, you were saying you were in Germany. And a lot of our milling equipment is from Germany.
You got the good stuff.
It's manufactured in Germany, winding milling equipment. So when we got all this milling equipment 2 years ago, we did an entire, you know, remodel of our mill. Completely overhauled it with new equipment, state-of-the-art, you know, digital equipment. So Wining Company Corporation sent over some of their German technicians, and, you know, they were real big advocates of just saying, you know, you guys are doing things the right way because, you know, do custom all the time and you always have a niche. You know, if you've got stuff sitting on the shelves collecting dust, it's just, you know, where is that getting you?
Right, right.
So, and I think that's part, you know, I think, I know for me, if, you know, granted not all the time, but as a consumer, if I can, you know, to have to wait for something that's being made for you, there's excitement in that.
And there's an art to it.
Yep.
An art to it. Now, how do you train your people? Do you go through a training program?
Yeah, I mean, we have an in-house training program. I'm the sales manager here, so... You know, we've got a couple real good guys that work on our sales team. They've been with us for a few years, and, you know, we might be looking to bring someone on within the next year. We just kind of plan that by ear. But, you know, we've had to learn a lot of stuff as we go, too, because this is a pretty new business. It's a new industry, you know, reclaimed wood. People weren't talking about this 10 years ago.
Right. You know? Do we have a break coming on, guys?
Yeah, James, I know you've got to go. So I just want to thank you for coming on. And if there's if you want to just let people know how...
I'd be more than happy if you guys have more questions or want to have me back sometime.
Yes.
Give me a shout. We can talk more.
So give us your email and your website and all of that.
Okay.
Now.
I'll forward that over to you.
No, now.
Okay. Our website is www.elmwoodreclaimedtimber.com. You could probably just type in Elmwood Timber in Google, and it'll come right up. We have a very strong Google campaign. My name is James Frady, F-R-A as in Apple, D as in David, Y. And you can reach me at Frady, my last name, F-R-A-D as in David, Y, at elmwoodreclaimedtimber.com.
Great. Thanks a lot for coming on our show, James.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the Green Roundtable. Another guest coming up at 3:30. But after the break, we'll talk a little bit about your trip to Europe,
yeah,
Eric.
We'll talk about Germany.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back.
David, how come we didn't have it?
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerham Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi. And, of course, Eric, coming all the way back from Europe. You lucky guy. You must have had so much fun.
I know. I didn't want to come back. When you're there, you forget that you actually have to work, you know, for your lifetime. And
I know. It's easy to, especially, yeah, you travel so far, and it's a whole different culture.
Right. And you're on vacation, so everywhere you're going, you're seeing all these people that are just lounging around and drinking and hanging out. And you forget that you really do have to, you know, go to work. It's kind of depressing when you come back home.
Wow, but you look great.
Great. Thank you very much. I perked up because I knew I got to come to the radio show.
There we go. It's always so fun. And James Frady, it was interesting. I found that interesting. I haven't heard that stuff before. reclaim wood, but it's I guess it's quite a niche, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you can do it here, too. I've got a couple reclaimed wood furniture pieces in my house that I built myself that, you know, Craigslisted, found a guy in Wickenburg that was dismantling a 100-year-old barn. So they have them here in Arizona. They're not as many. They're fewer and farther between, but you can find them and do fun stuff with it. So
that is very cool. So, Frank.
Yes.
You have a special guest.
Your special guest. Do we have Chris online?
Hi.
Chris.
Hey, it's Chris. I'm here. I'm Chris from Plants on Walls, and we have Daniel Rosamato. I'm Chris Breibach.
Okay, good, good. Have you been listening to a little bit about our show?
No, we were dealing with the phone here, but we finally got it together.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. You might tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris, and then Daniel too, and then we'll introduce you to the rest of the gang here.
Oh, awesome. Okay. My name's Chris Breibach. I'm originally from Wichita, Kansas, but I moved out here in the 90s out to San Francisco and have been developing like green and living architecture and been really interested in these organic architectural ideas. Before that, I did graduate from SciArch down in L.A. with a 5-year in architecture. So I've kind of got a love for architecture, but I got more of a love for
plants,
creating organic architecture in more of an artistic kind of way.
So the art of you came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then I met Daniel, and we about 3 years ago. And we started, and he's into gardening, plant design. So we started kind of put our brains together and came up with this way to do vertical gardening, and that's become a business.
So, and how is that going? What do you see in this as far as the future?
Well, we're really I think it's a key element, like to bring. As far as architecture has been such a dead art, you know. I mean, it's
okay.
Just tell us how you really feel.
Yes, go ahead, Chris. speak up.
We'd like to bring it to life. You know, I mean,
I agree.
Could be air can be like fresh and gorgeous and sight. You know, whenever you go in the woods, you have such a wonderful experience being in nature, and so
you do
that in our homes. You know.
Well, have you heard of Christopher Alexander at Berkeley?
I don't remember that.
Well, he talks about architecture needing life, the same thing that you just said. He's a professor emeritus at Berkeley, or has been, and now he's developing a village north of, I believe, in Oregon. But the concept of putting more life into architecture has been one of his main theses. So you have a companion there in thinking.
Well, good. I know
and he's an architect.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize the name, but we did study that stuff in school. But well, that's sick.
Well, Erica, do you have a question?
Yeah, hi, Chris. This is Eric. I was just curious, kind of describe to us for, you know, someone who doesn't know your product and is listening at home, what exactly kind of a typical project or a typical product of yours? Just give us a brief description of what it is and how it works.
Okay. You want to answer that, Daniel? I'm going to have Daniel answer that question. He's here with me. He's my business partner. And,
sure.
When Chris and I first got together, we were up in Oregon and saw a natural fern wall, and that's where our inspiration kind of came from, off a river road there. And it was the idea of being able to build these and make them accessible to people. And we realized that the products that were out there are actually not always successful. Planting them isn't friendly for all kind of gardener use, friendly use. So we actually sat down and built the Patrick Blanc wall. And for our experience, it was very difficult for us to do that. So we developed our own techniques and developed our patented method of designing these walls that we felt anybody could do. Even a family member could do something like this on their own and bring it, bring this ideal of a expensive ideal down to the regular home gardener or the children in a schoolyard, make it something that everybody could be part of.
Now, tell us a little bit about the green aspect of it, the sustainability aspect.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we got going on this and exploring materials, we found out that what we needed was something that would not dissolve or erode away over time.
Mm-hmm.
That is to plastics. And then we were able to develop and create this felt that that wicked water and kind of allowed roots to grow in it and the nutrients to be in there and allow some of the microbiology in soil to be active in there. But it turns out that the felt that we liked the most and used best was the recycled, 100% recycled plastic water bottle.
Wow.
That's what it's made from. And it's, the plastic's melted, extruded, and it's like it... And it becomes a non-toxic, well, for the most part, non-toxic kind of a membrane where you can grow in. But how wonderful. What a great place for all these bottles to end up.
It is. It is. Now, do you need a how do you fertilize it? Do you fertilize it? And how is that done? Do you do that through the drip system? Or
We you can use a... irrigation, what's it called? A food injector.
Uh-huh.
Works good and for water-soluble type fertilizers. But you can also hand fertilize. You can add, Miracle-Gro to this if you want to be simple, not as green.
Right.
You can use, what's that? Worm.
Worm castings.
Castings, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, fertilizer isn't always the most important part. I mean, fertilizer, it needs to be done gently. Plants don't, it's kind of a, what do you say, fertilizing can be overdone.
Right.
So it needs to be done carefully and gently. And so I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of, this is where you kind of enter into gardening again. We make the planter and then the artistry of the plantee has to know what they're doing at this point, growing basic plants and simple plants, it's actually, it's quite simple. But you can make it as complicated as you'd like it.
So if I'm a homeowner or a business owner and I've got whether it's a lobby or an outdoor courtyard or a wall in my house, your system is something then that as long as I have a water source, I can kind of build this green wall that's basically a wall of living plants.
Yes, absolutely. There's two requirements. We have two systems, one for a water coming in and allowing water to go out, and then we also have our recirc systems that have a tank that recirculate the water through the system.
How about the types of plants you use? Is this something that you could actually pull off in a outdoor environment in Phoenix at all, given, I'm sure it's Phoenix, we'd have to have the right circumstances, whether it's overhangs or special shade, but can we get that to work in a desert environment?
No, I think a cactus would be interesting in there.
Yes.
So go ahead and, explore, hot, full sun plants too, there's sedums, mm-hmm. and succulents.
I believe we've already had several clients using it in Phoenix in your area.
Oh, cool.
It's a product that can be used indoors or outdoors. It depends on the type of plants you choose, you're going to find your success. I always say plants have solar panel leaves. They need a certain amount of light to be able to be successful. And the system basically is just getting plants up onto the wall, and it's your correct choices of the plant material that will create your success.
Daniel, do you need grow lights when you have it indoors?
If you don't have any...
natural light.
Natural light source, absolutely.
Uh-huh, okay.
Like I said, plants are solar panels, and they pull in the light that make them create their energy to grow.
Yeah, like for the and the interior, we like to use the halogen lights, halogen lights, and because they offer the infrared spectrum. which is you get from the sun, you know, the warm light. And,
right.
So, and it looks nice, too. But we're always suggesting the new construction that people put in these sonotubes so that you don't have to run any energy. You know, you could really let the sun do its power. The best illuminator there is, you know.
Are there any almost like mosses or things like that you can use in areas where, you know, light's a real issue?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you could explore very low light conditions, plants. Mosses? You know, we've never tried mosses. That would be interesting. I know, but again, you do need some light.
Right.
I think plants that really do well, they're going to want some light, you know.
It's no different than if you had it in a nice big potted container. You want your plants to be happy and in the correct environment for their success.
Yeah.
I have a scale question. So far, your containers are a certain size. Is there a possibility of generating a larger size, more massive container, hollow or shape, to use bigger plants? This is just a theoretical question.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that a lot of people want that. But I think what they're kind of not understanding about this growing in felt system is that, like, the roots reach a hydroponic state, so they don't need to grow as far as they do looking for nutrients like they do in soil.
I see.
So you'll end up with some very thick, woody, stocked plants over time and a very small root system. And the Patrick Blanc's been growing in these in felt since the 1980s, and he's got a lot of mature, heavy, big mature plants they've been cutting back and keeping sized, but it's not like container gardening where you have the limitation of the pot, you know.
You don't have
a grinding situation with this.
What's the largest system or single installation you've done or have seen other people done using your system?
Oh, well, there's the biggest one we've done is about like about 200 square feet. But I've seen Patrick Blanc fill entire walls, buildings as high as looks like maybe 15 stories or so.
Really? Where is that at?
Spain.
I think in Germany.
Right here.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if we can look that up. But if you look up, a really great resource is look up Patrick Blanc on the Internet, PatrickBlanc, and you will see amazing stuff. A lot of these, click on images there and you'll see tons of stuff, really big things.
And he's using your system or multiple systems, or just kind of depends on his particular circumstances?
There's, you know, different people are coming into the market with different types of systems. Patrick Blanc is more of it's a hand-done system where he takes two layers and you cut the slit in the felt and then uses staples to put it up. And it's a very it's a tricky thing to do. We tried to do it, but it's hard to keep the plants alive in that condition. He takes all the soil off of the plant and puts it in there, and so you're required to have exact nutrient conditions for them.
That's tough.
It was tough. So
yeah.
That's why when we came up with our idea, we thought we'd use the pleat on it, and we pleated the fabric up the wall, and so it gave a place for us to put some dirt in along with there. Minimal amount, but a little bit of dirt, because once you have that dirt in there, you're starting to balance your pH levels, and you're even allowing some of the micronutrients in the soil, the living soil, to actually get into the felt itself. So you end up with the ability to break down the nutrients to what the plants can eat. Then the benefit of that, too, is nice about is that you can – the soil in the felt is exposed to the air, so you're getting all that benefit of,
so you get the oxygen that it needs.
The oxygen. There's a lot of metabolic activity in that soil there. And so to expose it, it absorbs VOCs, purifies the air, there's just a lot going on in that soil area.
Chris, if someone's here in Phoenix and they want to have one of these. You pack it and you ship it and you send instructions. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, definitely go online to plantsonwalls.com and check that out. We've compartmentalized our items into products that make it easy to like kind of find something that'll work for you. We have simple panels that you can just put up or hang on a fence real easy. And then we have these nice, we're getting a lot of architects that want something a little nicer, so we've created some metal frames that go around the panels. We even have copper. It's a little pricey, but the longevity of copper is worth it, and the people like the quality, you know.
So. Now, what is your vision for the future, and what is your market that you're looking for?
I think the vision of the future is, of course, we want to bring the buildings to life, I think, and we want to get plants in people's lives again. I know in the 70s or something, plants were pretty popular, but I think they've kind of, we've forgotten about them because they're hard to keep alive. And so I think if we can bring a lot of plants into people's lives and we can make it easy and automatic to maintain them, I think people are going to start wanting them in their lives again.
So if you were going to summarize all the qualities and benefits of this, what would you say? What would be some of those qualities or benefits?
Well, I think the psychological benefits are the biggest, because when we put them in, like we did an installation for a woman that had this big concrete loft that she lived in, and it was lifeless, and the air was stale, and we went in there, and we put in these enormous walls in her home, and we noticed when we came back to visit a couple weeks later that she had changed.
So this is a life-changing event.
Yeah, she was up on the wall picking on it, like, you know, interested in all the plants, and the air had that kind of earthy smell in it. It really smelled like you're in a garden or in a forest, and it just changed. It changes.
So it kind of has the negative ions. Then is there some aspect of negative ions? Have you looked into that aspect of it?
I don't know. I think the humidity, the oxygen, the filtered air, and the plants are not, you know, plants are alive. They move, they change, and the walls were different after 2 weeks. There's things happen. There's flowers coming out. There's things dying back. I mean, you have activity in the shape of the whole thing changes. Constantly.
Now, it sounds like a lot of people are using this either A, as kind of an aesthetic piece, or B, to kind of help, like you said, bring life into their space. Are many people using this in terms of, you know, an actual garden where they're producing vegetables and food to eat?
Well, you know, the potential's there. I mean, we did some growing of strawberries, which we had a lot of great success with. The herbs and things like that were very, very easy to grow. I would think anything you grow hydroponically, you could explore with this.
So maybe a wall of tomatoes?
Yeah, why not? I
think wallflowers.
It's up to the gardener, you know, what they can do. You can put bulbs in there. I don't know, what else can you plant in there, Daniel? Like
deciduous.
Oh yeah, we were thinking about doing the maples, Japanese maples in there. Would be a lovely floating forest, you know.
Wow.
You almost create like this illusion that you're standing next to a forest, you know.
It's just reinterpreting all the plants we have around us and how you can put them all in mass and create these spectacular pieces of artwork, and they're actually at your standing level. So you don't have to bend over, like for older people, older folks who want to still enjoy their gardens but can't anymore, can actually bring these into their terraces and have that plant material around them to enjoy the beauty of plants again.
That sounds fantastic. Now, have you fellas addressed illumination? I don't mean sunlighting. I mean ways of illuminating the plants to create sort of a the living wall with light. Have you done anything like that?
You could do. We like to light them. They look beautiful. So we like to light them from above, but lighting them from below is interesting as well, very dramatic.
Well, I mean, have you put any lights within the plant? It's within the weave it in within the fabric itself, or in this to create a certain amount of luminosity to it.
Yeah, we might try that for the holidays to maybe reinvent what the Christmas tree is all about.
There you go. It's a wall Christmas tree.
Two lights on the wall. That way you got your holiday flat on a wall.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we might try that.
So explain to me a little bit how did you end up where you're at? I mean, you were at SciArc, you're with a bunch of other, you know, students sitting around talking about how you were going to, you know, change the world with buildings, and next thing you know, you're trying to change the world with plants. What made the big shift for you? How did that, or was it something you always thought about?
Well, you know, something I've been thinking about a long time is living buildings, the living structure, where the structure is actually alive. A lot of the arboriculture, a lot of the bridges that are built out of roots and vines, and kind of like the hobbit homes and built under the roots of trees. And I always thought that would be the future of architecture. You know, I know with the currently built architecture, it's such a heavy carbon footprint. And I thought, well, the way to reverse the carbon footprint of building would be to grow the building. That way we'd be creating oxygen when we build our cities. So, and then we'd end up with these cities full of living plants all around us and lots of interest and things, food growing everywhere. And those are lofty ideas, and then I got a little stuck, and then... When I came across this kind of practical application to bring it, applying it to our buildings with the idea that then that would then evolve to maybe the next level.
So that's going to be your next product, Living City? We can get that in a box and we can just add water?
Yeah, it's actually. Yeah.
It's a prefabricated.
Just throw it in the ground and add a little
water. Right. We'll definitely have you back on when you've got that on the, back on the market.
Now, how much time do we have? Okay. Tell us a little bit about how to get a hold of you, your email and things like that.
Okay, definitely. Go online and type in the Plants on Walls, and you'll find us at plantsonwalls.com. And we have a really friendly site that kind of guides you through the different systems we have. And if you'd like to give us a call at 415-658-5498. And probably me or Daniel will be picking up the phone talking to you about it. If you have any questions, we'd love to talk about it. Give us an email if you'd like, and you can just email either Chris or Daniel at plantsonwalls.com or info@plantsonwalls.com. And all that's on our site, so just feel free to explore the site. Look at all the pictures. Look on the gallery. See all the stuff we've done. And
have you worked with the schools at all?
Yes, we have. We recently worked with a number of schools across the country, but there is a great school here in San Francisco that set up an area for their kindergartners, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're actually got the little kids out there root wrapping and getting all the little kids getting involved in that. And then we have some colleges that are doing some larger projects on campuses, too, to help inspire the students, get the green thing going.
And I think you said that you had done some projects in Phoenix?
We have some clients who did purchase, and I believe Penny is out there. Our friend Penny, she bought some panels and is getting something started in her backyard out there.
Okay, so that's for the home and business?
Yep, you can. Definitely the home business. I think the business people are kind of looking at the floor frame recirc units because it's something they can just hang on the wall, add a little water, and just plug and play. And then, like I said, the outdoor gardeners are getting into the floor felt panels that they can just hang on some nails on their fence and kind of start playing around with it. And we have this new thing called the plant habit, which is just a little column of plants, and it's very moderately priced. It's it's just, it'll fit anywhere in your house, and it just automatically waters your plants, and you can just forget about your plants, basically, and let them grow, which is what plants like. They like the regular watering. And so kind of just definitely poke around on there on our site and plantsonwalls.com and check it out.
Okay, thank you so much, Chris. We've really enjoyed speaking with you and listening to the projects. And we hope to see you, maybe hear from you again. And actually, we're going to pass this on to our listeners and have them enjoy your site.
We'll Great. Have our one listener call you.
Okay.
Thanks for being on.
Okay, thanks for inviting us.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. Wow, we still have a few minutes to talk about. Let's talk, Eric. We got 2 minutes. A little bit about your company. We'll pass it on to Frank and end the show that way.
Well, I'm Eric Koss. I'm the owner of Koss Design and Build. We're an architecture and construction company. We specialize in residential and specialty commercial projects. And everything we do, we really try to kind of push this agenda of sustainability. And we will do as much and as little, depending on the client, as they need.
And you do a great job, too.
And anybody can reach us on the web at costdb.com, or you can always email us at info@costdb.com.
Thank you so much. Frank.
Yes, I do backyard makeovers. So that means that if you have nothing but bare dirt, or if you have a lot of plants and things that look kind of beat up, well, then we can come in and actually make a transformation in your backyard. And make any theme, we can have tropical themes, desert themes, whatever it is that works along with your architecture and your lifestyle. And my email is frank3773@q.com.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Eric, nice seeing you again. Welcome
Good
back
to see
from
you.
Europe.
Yes, thank you.
And Frank, and we'll be on again next month. We got some interesting things, right, Eric? We've been talking about maybe some of the major sports teams, how they go green. And we're going to see what we can do to get some representatives from some of the major leagues, from Major League Baseball to hockey. It'll be good. And Frank, yes?
Well, the guest that we have for next month is Living Homes, which is prefabricated homes. And they're going to talk with Mr. Glenn, who is CEO of the company. And he's going to talk about the fantastic progress that they've made and the people that they work with. And their company.
Thank you, thank you. I think you may have a guest too, huh?
We're going to have someone from the new International Green Code Council.
Excellent. That's going to be great. Well, see you guys next month. Go D-backs tonight.
That's right.
Chase Field. We're excited. I'm going. Bye-bye.